Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome, everyone. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden at Truth Straight Up, brought to you by
AmericasCitizenPress.com, great conservative website, and Denver Synergenics and Dr. Julie McKellen. Actually, you have an appointment coming up with them. Chuck has bright and early tomorrow morning. He's got to get up to get ready for that. So there you go.
Peter was over there today.
Peter was there. Yeah, Chuck had lunch with Peter. So hopefully the Perkins is still intact.
It's more or less intact. We keep it alive.
Hey, so all kinds of stuff to talk about today. Peg Cage, most of you guys know her, grassroots activist, is going to be joining us right about 3:20-ish. Tomorrow is caucus day in Colorado. Tuesday is caucus day. And we're going to be talking about the importance of that, I think, particularly this year.
Well, how to find out where to go and everything else if you don't already know. So it's easy, but it's not that easy sometimes. So if you haven't done it before.
Right.
And more about, you know, where could you want to be an assembly delegate? Do you want to go to your county caucuses? Right. Do you want to go to the other ones?
And so, we can mention, I saw that Donald Trump was retweeting what Ronna McDaniel was tweeting from the RNC, saying that one of the big things they're pushing now is for people to go to the caucuses because of how important it is.
Right,
and
right.
That we have not establishment people, the grassroots people. So that'll all be coming up with Peg Cage at 3:20. But first, I wanted to talk Ukraine. You know, we've been talking all weekend. It's like real, not real. How do you know? Both sides are putting out propaganda. How do you know the truth, right?
Well, you're never going to find the truth, no. But can you find somewhat objective reporting? You know, Fox News does not read as objective reporting, reads as propaganda. It's all, you know, the wonderful Ukrainians, the awful Russian dictators, and CNN's exactly the same. You know, it's fine for propaganda if you just want to hear,
right,
you know, tall tales about it. I was just driving up here, listening to Sean Hannity, he was repeating the Snake Island tale.
Which is not true. Let's go through some of the stuff that is not true. And I want to give you, just as a reporter, some of the like the things I would look for in situations like this.
It sounds too good to be true.
So let's talk about number one. Maybe you guys have seen Adam Kinzinger was tweeting this, a picture of a little girl in a pink jacket clutching her stuffed animal, standing there looking at some kind of tank rolling by. Well, turns out, actually, that picture is not from Ukraine today. It was from 2016, not even clear where it was from. Right. Or what it was. The Snake Island thing, the Ukrainian soldiers who bravely defied the Russians and said, F you. Mm-hmm. And then they were all killed. Well, turns out
they all surrendered.
Mm-hmm. The elderly woman who stood up to the soldiers and said, have sunflower seeds in your pocket because they're going to be on your graves. So two things that turns out.
Ghost pilot who is roaming the skies.
Not true.
Shooting down MiGs.
Yeah, not true. And one thing you would look for when I first saw the Snake Island thing and the woman with the thing, when you see these, you're like, well, how do we know that? It's like, did the woman call up the news media and do it? Did she tweet herself and say, I just said that? Or where does that come from? You want to ask yourself, how do we know if all the soldiers were killed, then how do we know they told the Russians F you? I mean, so things like that. The other thing I've noticed is in the reporting, there is, to me, and I don't know what this means and I don't know why, but there is a bizarre, I find it, lack of actual information and lack of video. I mean, this is a war, right? And so what you have is all of the correspondents standing in a hotel saying, I mean, they've been saying for days now that Kyiv was being in.
Well, you have one picture of where a rocket, it's not sure if it's Russian or Ukrainian, hit a building. That's all you ever see, that same picture.
Well, then they said there's an orange glow in the background. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I listened for one whole evening and they never did actually tell you, and nor the next day, what the orange glow
was. An oil depot.
But what I'm saying is, I was a reporter, right, for a long time. If we saw an orange glow in the sky in Denver, I mean, that's just a series of phone calls to figure out what it is, right? Now, I understand that maybe communication is tough. I understand that maybe the media aren't leaving the hotel, but you'd think somebody in the hotel would be like, you know, Bill lives over there. I'll call Bill and see what it is. And then I'll ask him if he can just stick his head out his window and take a picture and send it. I mean, there's just, remember in Afghanistan when they said that the Taliban was closing in on the city? We saw that, right? You saw pictures of it.
Right,
when they said that the U.S. had bombed that car that they thought was terrorist. I mean, we saw pictures of that within a matter of hours.
Took a little longer to find out they were just innocent.
But that was
aid
one of
work
the reasons.
Is distributing water, which the New York Times to their credit.
But when they talked about all the people outside the airport, we saw the people. And I just, the other night, for instance, they were in Kyiv. They were saying that they thought the Russians were trying to get in, and they heard small arms fire, sporadic. And I was thinking to myself, well, one, I would think that if there was an urban guerrilla warfare going on, there would be more than sporadic small arms fire, right? I mean, and that's just struck me, this whole thing. And then CNN was talking about that they had their producers back here in the United States, and they're scouring the internet and YouTube for video. And I'm like, well, you're in a war. I mean, you wouldn't think it would be that hard. I mean, and so all I'm saying is it's just odd to me. And I don't understand why that is. I don't understand why the reporters seem to have, for days they've been saying they're in. And now then they say, you see, for instance, some of the headlines today, it's like, you know, explosions, cluster bombs, rock this. And then you see these pictures and it's like, maybe. And even the pictures say what appears to be, it's kind of like, I don't know.
Well, and the writing's awful. And it's racist. You know, it's always that tyrannical murderer.
Well, and he's crazy now. Putin is crazy, right?
Steroids, it's at facelifts. But it's just the adjectives put before everything. I mean, rather than just, you know who Vladimir Putin is. You don't have to go tyrannical, blah, blah, blah. And so where do you go? Well, here's where I go. Al Jazeera is actually pretty good. Al Jazeera does not like the Russians because of Chechnya and everything else. It doesn't like NATO because of Iraq.
So it doesn't like anybody.
It doesn't like anybody. And therefore, it tends to be the most balanced coverage. And they seem to have a lot of reporters, their maps are good, and you just don't get a feeling that this is somebody
total propaganda. Now, I mean, I get propaganda. I mean, I would imagine if I were going to do a war, I mean, I would make sure that one of my divisions was the propaganda division, right?
No, but you don't want to sound like propaganda.
Well,
that's the problem, is they sound like propaganda. So it's not, when you're sounding like propaganda, it's less effective propaganda. It really
is.
Well,
but here's where the media comes into play. Because again, if I were a reporter and somebody said, oh, an elderly peasant woman stood up to a Russian soldier, because first, like, well, what town was she in? Right. And said, hopefully you put sunflower seeds in your pocket. I mean, I would immediately be skeptical of that, because as a reporter, that's just a great story, right?
Yeah,
and that's
to
like too good to be
true.
Yeah. And so, but in this case, the media, and we'll get to some of the comments here, is totally complicit, right? The media is happy because it's a great story. Why question? Like those nurses, remember at the beginning of COVID, that nurses, the emergency room nurses who stood up to the horrible Trump supporters protesting the lockdowns. And then it turns out that they had nothing to do with the hospitals. It was like a disc jockey at a strip club or something like that, right? But the media didn't care.
No.
They didn't care that they couldn't confirm who these people were. They didn't even care that they didn't talk to those people. Somebody else tweeted it and they ran with it. So Al Jazeera.
Al Jazeera is a good one. There's a thing called the Institute for War Studies.
Wait, say it again.
Institute for the Study of War. And it's run by a bunch of U.S. generals, retired like Petraeus and Keane. But it does try to at least indicate where the movements are, what they think the Russians are doing, what, you know, where their vulnerabilities is. You know, the North, they seem to be stalled. In the South, they seem to be making a lot of progress. So that could threaten the North. And at least it's an analysis and not just garbage in, garbage out, like Miss Ukraine is promising to kill anybody who goes across the border.
We've got some great comments here. Let me kind of just read some of them. You know, Sandra's like, I don't listen to any of the news we just talked about. And then Stephen, Sandra, how do we know anything we see in the media is legitimate? But if it's on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or the internet, it must be true. And then Stephen says, investigative journalism, vetting the information of the source, surely you jest. Well, exactly. How many of the mainstream media just rely on social media and news reports by others instead of doing their own investigative journalism? I think all of them right now, basically. And then headlines on page one, corrections in the fine print on page 30, 3 days later. Well,
Sandra said he also doesn't listen to Peter after he said he's supposed to let Cheney. So.
But it is hard. I mean, my daughter and her boyfriend were over last night and we were talking about stuff and they were like, how do you even, you know, they were like, they said, alarmingly, we listen to you guys.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, but at least you know where we're coming from.
You're in trouble now.
But they said, we don't even know where to go. And I think that is confusing. And it is hard because I know you know, you look at, I mean, everybody, and it is, it's just such obvious propaganda. I mean, and they all seem to kind of follow the same playbook. It's like right now, all of a sudden it's the brave Zelensky. And I'm like, wasn't he the corrupt leader of corrupt Ukraine like 2 months ago? Right. And all of a sudden, and then nothing against him, because I'm sure he is very brave. And he could have caved, he could have fled, like sure. The Biden administration tried to get him to do, yeah. But they show him holding a rifle and they're like, he's fighting in the streets. It's like, no, he's not. I mean, there isn't any fighting there. Right. And he's brilliant. I mean, whoever is doing the Ukraine, no, who knows, if it might be the United States or the CIA doing it, but they're, it is brilliant because the narrative has become in the West, it's like the brave citizens of Ukraine standing up against, and Putin's crazy now that, doctors are questioning his thing. Here's my question to you though. Does that, if you're the Biden administration, are you like kind of worried that, well, here, let me back up, because it seems to me that Putin has been sort of following a strategy, obviously, of not killing everyone and bombing and destroying all the buildings, right? But Ukraine is fighting back. And so there is this sort of, you know, I mean, at what point, I think it's clear, you know, Putin does have the ability and the military ability to go in and kill a lot of people and destroy a lot of buildings for a lot of reasons I can see.
Well,
he doesn't
want
to.
But, same with your daughter and
Seth.
And Seth. And I said, you know, how long do you think it took us to get into Baghdad? And they all said, well, a few days. And that's how I remembered it, too, except it was actually 3 weeks. So we're on the fifth day of this war, and we expect for Kiev to already have fallen and for the rest of the be under control of Russia, which is really not
how wars go. And that's a really good point. I mean, we're used to the kind of, I mean, just as a society, right? I mean, Afghanistan happened. That happened pretty quickly, really, all things considered, where the Taliban took it over. I mean, maybe let the Taliban handle things. I mean, they took it over, so that was a joke, in a couple of days. And you're right. We tend to think, well, if Putin hasn't, which is the narrative, if Putin hasn't taken it over without killing a single person, then he's failing. And it's like, well, no. But I wonder, I mean, but if you're the Biden administration and if you're the West, so we play up the brave, suffering Ukrainians. And at a certain point, I think there's going to be a certain amount of pressure to, particularly when the brave Ukrainians start getting killed, that you know, I think there's going to be pressure to maybe get involved militarily, which would be a big mistake because everybody
Just given them $350 million and a lot of military hardware. Kind of like, how'd you get it in there? You didn't get it in there. I mean, you know, there's no way to get it in there. So it's sort of ridiculous. But, you know, people will die. Hundreds of thousands of Arabs died in the Iraqi invasion, and we barely noticed their butcher-a-thon. So that of that deal of invasion of sovereign state. And it's just so, you know, we're at war again for the umpteenth time, or at least Ukraine and Russia at war.
I kind of see this, though. I mean, and what do you guys think? And, oh, you know, if you want to call in today, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008, or if you're listening to us on Zoom, go ahead and raise your hand or turn your mic on and you could talk. But I don't, I kind of worry. I think the Biden administration is just lost in general.
They figure they can't lose. They're doing so badly that, you know, war helps.
But at a certain point, though, something's got to give. I mean, Americans' attention span is short. Prices are still bad, and they're only going to get worse, right? And Biden
and we're still importing Russian oil.
And we're still, I mean, it seems to me that if you really wanted to have sanctions, it's like we put these economic sanctions on, buying, what, 600,000 barrels of oil a day, which is now over $100 a barrel right now. So it's you know, I don't know. Now, you know, and Putin, I don't think there were pictures, again, for what it's worth, of you know, some of like Apple Pay and Google, some of the online tech companies. And this is, there's two points to this, have suspended people can't use them in Russia. So they're having to use cash, right? Mm-hmm. So how unpopular does this become in Russia? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that one thing about that, though, that's alarming that the tech companies, like they did to Canadian truckers, could just like that.
No, Facebook is banned.
They're demonetized.
Well, they also banned RT and Sputnik, wherever it is. And you kind of go, really? I mean, I think Glenn Greenwald is, why don't we want to hear their,
right.
You ought to take it with a grain of salt. and not believe most of it,
right?
But to say, we'll just cut it off because we don't want you people out there even hearing
exactly
Russian propaganda. You only hear our propaganda.
Here, and this from Charlene, I would not be surprised if Biden's Ukraine deep state doesn't false flag civilian deaths and blame it on Putin.
Yeah.
Twitter and social media, America will never know and whether corpses are actors or real people. Oh, exactly. Or whether they're just, like I said, like that the picture of the little girl with the tank that was from 2016. I mean, you look at the picture, and I will say this too, they were talking about dozens and dozens have been killed. And again, not that I'm asking you to see pictures of bodies, but you aren't seeing them. And again, think back to in Afghanistan, the most recent war, where the people were killed in that ditch outside the airport. You saw that. Yeah. I just find it odd that we're not seeing that. I'm not saying it's not happening. I don't know. I'm just saying it just the whole thing just seems kind of odd to me.
Yeah, well, it is odd. And the other source I like to look at is Conservative Treehouse. And they're skeptical of the propaganda, but it's a good one for a gut check on what you're listening to from CNN and Fox. So I think the Al Jazeera Institute for War Studies and Conservative Treehouse at least get you some feeling that you know what's going on, or maybe knows what's going on, or some idea, and you're not just stuck with the state-run junk.
What I like about the Conservative Tree, because I can admit I haven't looked at those sites, so I have to check those out. What I like about the Conservative Treehouse is they just say, we don't know. And but they're sort of like me. They're kind of pointing out, look, this is just odd. I don't really know what's going on. I'm just saying this is just kind of odd. Well, here we got, let's see. This one from Steve, Newsmax's Greg Kelly said Biden gets 3+ million from Ukraine and 3+ million. Oh, the Bidens. Well, exactly. We haven't even. Okay. Then Conservative Treehouse, I do read. Dr. Donna, what about the supposed Nazi involvement? Well, and here's the thing. They make it sound like Putin's crazy. And they're actually, I don't think there are Nazis roaming around Ukraine, but there was a time historically, right, where that annoyed the Russians over all that, right?
No, I mean, what has happened is that as the tensions arose between the Ukrainians and the Russians, some groups in the Ukraine brought back that
during the World War
that Ukrainian had a whole division that fought with the Luftwaffe and the Nazis, and they started glorifying them. Now, that doesn't mean that
it's happening today.
Well, no, those people are today celebrating that group that fought with the Nazis. Now, that isn't Zelensky. Zelensky's Jewish, and he certainly is not anybody. But there are people in Ukraine, just because the last time they fought against the Russians, it was with the Nazis, at least some of them. Of course, they all got slaughtered. And when Stalin came back, he butchered even more of them.
But what I mean, though, is when you hear these claims, you think it's just like this nut job claim. And Putin might be crazy. But again, there is some historical context to that accusation. And from his point of view, it is the kind of thing that might resonate a little bit in Russia.
Right,
so it's propaganda on both sides. And it's very hard to sort out. I just wonder, because, okay, so it has, initially, I think the Biden administration was hoping to use it to blame rising prices on. I don't think that's going to, the American people aren't going to be like,
on pushing, I promise you.
I know, but I don't think the American people are going to say, well, that's cool with us. We're happy to, you know. I also think they've put themselves in a hard point. Place because unless they come to some sort of peace negotiation pretty soon, and I don't see how that's going to really happen, it's going to start getting really ugly there. And then there's going to be pressure on them from go to war, don't go to war. And that's going to start a whole other, I think, thing for the Biden administration. But I can also sometimes think they just kind of careen from crisis to crisis, don't you think?
Yeah, well, Scott Ritter, who was a big source in the Iraq war, on Twitter is getting news out on the ground and is the Durham report from Europe that is more balanced than.
Are you reading this?
Or? Yeah, I'm reading.
Oh, from Charlene.
Duran.
Okay. The Duran report from the more balanced and fake news. Okay. Well, and you know, here's the thing with the Twitter stuff too, is I found that you'd be reading once, but all of a sudden it disappears and it's hard to know. Did Twitter take it down? Was it determined to be not true? Or did the people suddenly flee? I know, again, Jenny and Seth, my daughter and her boyfriend, have friends in Ukraine, and they say they are fleeing. Right. And they're kind of like, we don't know what's going on. Now, theoretically, I was reading that Putin told the people of Kiev, hey, get out, because we're going to start doing things. We're going to start attacking. Then there was an explosion. So I don't know. I think that it's good. Obviously, they had the negotiations. Let me ask you, do you think they will reach a negotiated settlement anytime soon? Or do you think it's going to get more deadly before it ends?
Well, I think it will get more deadly, but I can't imagine Putin really wants the Ukrainian side, which is the Western side in the Soviet Union, because you have a very unhappy population.
Yeah.
He might take the Donbass region, southern part, divide the country in two, and just say, you can have the Western half and you can be the EU, but you have to promise not to be part of NATO. And maybe that's something somebody accept. But we got Sherry online too, so let's go to her. Hey, Sherry.
Hi. So I just have some wonderings about the Ukraine, because my understanding is the DOD funded 11 biolabs. So they're American biolabs in the Ukraine. And while apparently they're not weapons of mass destruction, they do say that there's very dangerous pathogens that are kept there. That's what the atomic scientist said. So what I don't understand is if I were Putin and I'm looking out for the Russian country, I might not like America having 11 biolabs in the Ukraine. And then also, when you talk about the NATO, if you look at all those missiles pointed over at Russia, it seems like we kind of got uptight when President Kennedy was our president,
right.
When Russia wanted to put missiles over on Cuba, and I thought we said, uh-uh.
No, Sherry, you know, you make a really good point. Again, the narrative now is that Putin is a madman. I mean, I was listening to Jennifer Griffin on Fox. He's a madman. He's insane. It's like, well, not, I mean, maybe, but just as you pointed out, you can kind of see, whether you agree with it or not, his point, right? And then keep in mind, up until 1992, Ukraine was part of the Soviet Union. So it's not like it's like out of the blue notion. So, you know, you're right. And I don't know about the biolabs. I'll look into that. But yeah, you could kind of see Putin saying, hey, look, guys.
But also, we as taxpayers seem to give a lot of foreign aid over to the Ukraine so it could get funneled back to our politicians' kids, like Pelosi.
Somebody had a list, and it just pointed out that Pelosi's son was over in the Ukraine being an executive for some company. Of course, Hunter Biden was part of the gas company that he got millions from. And the
John Kerry's son-in-law.
And of course, the Clinton Foundation pulled millions. So it was a corrupt thing. And if you're Ukrainian, you might kind of go, we're corrupt. You're the corrupter.
Well, and then, of course, George Soros, you know, he has. So
anything George Soros you've got to be against.
You guys have seen Louder with Crowder, but he has a thing that says, Russia is not attacking Ukraine. It is attacking the deep state inside Ukraine. Change my mind. And it's like, it sounds good to me.
Good point. Hey, Sherry, thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So do you want to switch gears now a little bit? I see we have Peg Cage to talk to Peg about.
Yeah.
Okay. So tomorrow is caucus day. We started going when we first moved up here. You joined the merry band of Adams County Freedom Fighters,
including Peg,
Ben, Neil, Joe. You came back and you were like the precinct chairperson. It's like, you never know. End of world from there. So I'm registered and I'm going, but we've got Peg Cage from Boulder County with us to explain everything. Hey, Peg, thank you for your time this afternoon.
Hey, guys, how are you?
We're good. How about you?
Good.
Doing well. Thanks. Excited to finally be to the caucuses. It's been a long haul getting ready for them, including a lawsuit and all sorts of cool stuff and our trip around the state. This is the time when we take our party and our state back. Yep. Because we go to the caucuses. Now, my website is mycoloradogop.org, and we've got caucus stuff and resolution stuff.
Well, as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, the process is you just go to the Secretary of State stuff, or you can get it right from your county Republican Party. And you put your name, your date, your address. You're not a robot. It'll bring up your voter information, and then you go over to your county and district.
Right.
And you'll have a 10-figure number. And the last three digits of that 10-figure number is your caucus site.
It's your precinct. Right.
And ours is 046, and, you know, they're all over the place. Yep. And then you get from the Republican Party in your county or elsewhere, where it's going to be located. Ours is going to be in Cottonwood Middle School, I think.
Elementary.
Oh, there you go.
Elementary school.
Well, and explain. So first, so folks know, you do have to be a registered Republican to the caucus.
Right. You have to have registered as a Republican 21 days before your caucus. And you can go and listen in if you're not affiliated with the party.
Right. You're not banned. Right.
Right. But you don't get to vote. You don't get to run for office. And there's two main positions that you want to run for. If you're a real Republican, a real patriot person, we want you to run as your precinct committee person. Precinctstrategies.org has been putting out a lot of information about the power of doing this at the precinct level. President Trump just endorsed them, I think, yesterday or day before. Mm-hmm. And they've been on Steve Bannon's show a lot, things like that. There's links on mycoloradogop.org. And we are encouraging you to go and run to be a precinct committee person, because that person is the go-between your precinct and your county party. You also get a vote when they go to elect the new officers for your county party. You get to vote.
Right.
You also get a chance to move up and take one of those voting positions in your House district or your Senate district or your congressional district.
Which is what happens with what Chuck
did. Or the state. That's right.
So what it is the precinct caucus, just so folks know. So the precinct is where it all starts.
All starts.
And that is the
smallest political division in the state.
Yes. Exactly. And so you go there and say you want to be a precinct chair, and you will have some, it's not just a free ride, right?
You have to get elected.
You have to get elected. Well, and then though, when the election is there, one of the things you can do is, and you know, you can control how involved I think you want to be, but you're sort of a go-between the county party, the party, and like your neighborhood. The precinct essentially is your neighborhood. So there's a pretty good chance that in your precinct, you're going to know like everybody, right?
Well, you're not going to know everybody.
Well, not everybody, learn. Okay, yeah. But you're going to know a lot. It's going to be your neighbors is what it's going to be.
Right.
And then like you
said, we don't know everybody in Highland Greens East, Julie.
No, but what I mean, though,
it's not.
We don't want to know all those people.
It's not like a group of strangers and, you know, where you have to give speeches and stuff all the time. I just want folks to know it's a pretty mild entry level position.
And it's fun. It's fun.
I guess it's
fun. You get to, at the precinct committee meeting, you get to tell the people which candidates you're going for. Like, I'm supporting Ron Hanks for the Senate race. And I'm hoping that all the other people in my precinct are going to want somebody who's really going to support that candidate to move up and make sure that he gets voted onto the primary election ballot. And also, what happens at the precinct meeting is you get those delegates. And that's what I was just talking about. You get the delegates who go on to the higher assemblies. You go to your county assembly and you get to vote for your sheriff candidate and your county clerk and those county positions that go on your ballot. And from there, you get a chance to vote in your House district, Senate district, congressional district, and state. So it's just it's the beginning place of politics. It's the Republic. I'm talking from the Republican standpoint. The Democrats do the same thing per state law, state statutes. So you start there, and that's where politics begin. Your party starts there, and your candidates start there.
And what I think is important for folks to understand, and this is why it's important. I mean, ours is like at 7 o'clock. It's important because the other side, the establishment, the fake Republicans, right? They have a stake in going there and making sure that they get elected to be the precinct chairperson and that they become the delegate. And if we just sit around and don't do anything, all of a sudden we've got Kevin Priola is representing us, right? Right. And so this is where it starts. So you can go and then you say, well, no, I want to be the, and then that way, then we're in control. Like you said, you know, we'll be supporting, I think, Ron Hanks as well.
Sure.
And it just starts there. And again, it's just the other side is organized and is doing this. And when you wake up on election day and you're like, how did this clown get on the ballot? Well, it starts here.
Right. Exactly. They'll have a bit of a harder time. They've been trying to kill the caucus for a long time. Yeah. And I think when they realized that we were going to actually pursue this lawsuit to make sure that only Republicans vote in Republican primaries, they started rallying the troops and making sure
right.
that they get their own to caucus
right.
because they realized, you know, that's what we're going to be doing.
Right.
So,
I found out pretty quickly that if you want to find out where somebody stands, you know, ask them, do they like Trump and support Trump? Or do they not? If they right. say, well, I'm a Reagan Republican. And of course, everyone's a Reagan. Everybody loves Ronnie.
No.
But it usually means that they are an establishment squish. As much right. as Ronald Reagan is wonderful, if they don't tell you they like Trump, then they're part of the never Trump crowd. And yeah. and so you can ask Barbara Kirkmeyer, who's running for CD8, and she'll
That's
always
right.
she'll never say she likes Trump. She loves Reagan. And that tells you
okay. And that's it. Hey, Peg, while you're doing this, this is from Charlene. You are so admirable, the patience of Job. Well, you do it. And you do. You do a great job keeping people involved. And you've been involved in a long time. But I want to also say to folks, and just once again, give credit to you and Chuck and this whole group, because the lawsuit was filed about the opt-out. And I think you guys, because you got involved at the very beginning and right. at this very basic level, were right. able, I think, to, you didn't win everything, but I think you forced the establishment of the Colorado Republican Party to stand up and take notice and to actually do things differently. And so, you know, you're not.
No, we did win everything.
In we the did. Sense, well, yeah.
Because we've got a lawsuit, we've raised money for it, we've got some right. of the best constitutional scholars to
right.
to do it. We didn't win the opt-out vote because a lot of people still wanted to have a primary.
Right.
And the statute is written. Oh, no, you can only do an assembly or a caucus.
Right.
And people say, well, I don't
right.
want that. You go, fine.
Right.
But
right.
we can have a full primary, but just not have it dominated by the left. And the left supplies all the money in this state. Right now, the money is pouring in from Catherine Murdoch, from all
oh, yeah.
these
oh,
PACs
yeah.
that are, that have, you know, patriot front ones, but they're really right. left-wing ones.
Right.
And it's they are trying to take over the Republican Party. So you just will have a Democratic Party and the Democratic Party light. And I, you know, I've debated that with Peter today. I said, all you want is just another Democratic Party that it'll, you know, institute all the Kevin Priola, so institute hair injection sites. I mean, unless you have a choice. If all you're doing is going, I don't know. I'm not for anything. I just don't like. What
I just
the
want to be in politics so I can
yeah.
make a lot of money in Ukraine.
Yeah.
yeah, that's right. Well, if we had strong Republicans at the beginning of this pandemic, it never would have gotten this bad in Colorado.
Right.
Because we had some people, Vicky Marble was
yes.
a senator at the time, and yes. she was so frustrated trying to get her caucus of senators
yes.
to stand up and push back against the mandates. And they just said, well, the polls
yeah.
say
right.
People want us to help control them. And so then you get the downtown being all destroyed, and these people
oh, yeah.
are just so weak. They're so weak in every way.
Well, and again, and they don't care. And I think, you know, Chuck was listening to what Neil Oliver, who is, people don't hear him, he's great. And you're right. It's like, we are at a time and place where you have to pay attention. I mean, we saw in this past year or past couple of years, how they will just take your freedom away. We right. saw how the banks just said, we're going to, in Canada, we're going to freeze your bank account because we right. disagree with you politically. We saw how they went to the homes of people who didn't even go inside the Capitol and said, we don't like you. We don't like what you think. And we are now going to arrest you. And we're going to put you in prison.
And they're still in prison.
And they're still in prison.
And the leader of the Conservatives in Canada was fine with it. And they removed her. I mean, she got removed. And they have a new one in. I guess it's a he, Aaron O'Toole. Got removed and they got a new one in. But we have the same thing in Colorado. You know, the leader of the Senate, Republicans.
Hugh incredibly,
well, Hugh McCain is the leader of the House Republicans. Yeah. He might as well be a Democrat. He is a Democrat. Right. He's just right. Democrat light. He's not quite right. Democrat, but he signs on to their legislation. He allows them to do whatever they want to do. Right. And the caucuses were able to fight back and have a MAGA or American right. First principles, or really this state is just going to be New Jersey.
Absolutely.
Although I think New Jersey has more gumption than our Republican Party does.
Oh,
we have great ones like our vice chair and our secretary, but the other ones that are not so much.
Yeah, and we had a lot of support from different people around the state that was really important. And you guys were able to take control of the executive committee.
But again, and it all starts, like you said, again, so folks know, I know Peg is busy. People are like, how do I do a caucus? Mm-hmm. It all starts though at the caucus thing, because if you try to wait until later and you're like, oh, I want to go to the state assembly and talk about this being a resolution, you can't.
No,
if you don't get involved now, you can't get involved. I mean, you have to wait till the next election cycle to get involved, basically.
So, and we can't wait right now.
And I'll give you one of my pet peeves. We spend an enormous time in caucuses coming up with resolutions, which are absolutely worthless and do absolutely nothing, but they make you feel like, you know, you're pro-life. So you do a pro-life one. They matter zero. In fact, our state party platform matters zero. And Christy Burton Brown said, no, I have a poll-tested thing which we'll run on. Not our state platform, but affordability. Yes, we'll tell everybody we're affordability.
We're transparent.
Right.
We're transparent.
Right.
It's just garbage, nothingness. And so, you know.
Yes, and election integrity is there in number 8. You have to interpret it, but it's there.
So you got a whole party running on nothing. I'll give Senator Scott, Tim Scott is not necessarily my favorite. When McConnell said we're running on nothing, he said, bull. I'm going to have an 11-point program. This is what I'm running on. But that was McConnell and Christy Burton Brown are the same. I mean, that's the same. Right. We'll run on nothing. We'll get poll tested nothingness. And at the end, even if you get elected Republicans, it'll make no difference.
Well, and they'll try to say also, the reason they don't like the caucuses, they'll say, oh, well, your candidates are extreme. You know,
and they'll never get elected in the
right.
Just like Trump would never get elected.
Right, exactly. Right. And just so
But luckily, Romney and McCain, you know, those are the kinds of people you got to nominate.
It's all propaganda, just like we were talking about before with Ukraine, right? It's just propaganda. So don't even listen to it. And again, the caucus meetings, they're not that long. It didn't take that
2 long. 2 hours.
Yeah. 2 hours. We can get rid of the resolutions. They're down to an hour.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I like the resolutions is because it's a conversation starter. And you're sitting there with people that are wanting you to send them to be your representatives to the government and to the party. And if you haven't had those conversations with them, are you pro-life?
Do you know?
You're right. You can't flush out people where they stand.
It's just nice to have that discussion. And if you go on to I've got it on my website under the resolutions right now. But if you go on to the National Party website and look at the national platform, I love their platform right now. I mean, it says, whereas the RNC enthusiastically supports President Trump and continues to reject the policy positions of the Obama-Biden administration.
Yeah. That says
Do we
it.
Ever hear that in Colorado?
No.
Ever hear that in Colorado? No.
I know. And I still, I'm going to disagree. And I made him, you know, we had Doug Friednesh on, who is a Democrat, who admitted that he does not particularly feel comfortable in the Democrat Party. But there is, again, the propaganda myth that nobody in Colorado likes Trump. That's just not true.
It's not true.
It's like, just again, when they say your candidate is too extreme, well, what does that mean, right?
It means if you and how many people have they gotten elected on their party?
Well, yeah, none, zero. I mean, the Colorado Republicans squish, have no, we lost everything.
Lost
well,
everything.
What did Cory Gardner do in his 6 years? I mean, signed onto this and that. And
well, he worked with the... What is it? The Organization of 300 or something like that, and the CR, the CFR,
the chamber folks. Yeah, yeah. Now the chamber folks, not yeah. The Republicans. Well, so I'm going to back you up then again, Peg. So number one, your website is great. MyColoradoGOP.org has
you.
Links to all of this.
Yes.
And you can go and register, but I think 2 times ago we didn't register. I don't think you absolutely have to register.
You don't have to register. It's just an easy link to get your information. Just click on it, put your address in, choose which voter you are at your address, and it'll tell you where to go. Go early. Don't expect to get there at 7. That's right. Vote often. Go early. Vote often. Yeah. But the meeting has to start at 7. And it often you're at a school or something like that, and you've only rented the janitorial staff for 2 hours.
Right.
So they'll want you out right after. But be there at 6:30. Get yourself checked in. Go and sit down and establish a presence in your precinct. Really, act like you know what you're doing, because nobody else does either.
Right, right. Well, and I would say this, I mean, and even some, it was kind of cute at our precinct, there was like one woman who actually knew, so folks are prepared when you go there, there will probably be several precincts meeting at the caucus. So you need to figure out which one.
Right,
and we were there and there was one delightful woman who knew what she was doing and everyone kept going, and she was like, I'm trying to run my meeting. And everyone else was like, yeah, but we don't know what we're doing. And so can you help us? So there'll probably be at least one person there like you who knows what they're doing.
Right. And if you read through the stuff on the website, the caucus stuff, it'll give you an idea. One of the things that I like to tell people is that nothing is set in stone. If you want to know more about these people before you had the vote, I remember my first caucus, we went in there and they said, okay, let's have a vote. Who's going to be the PCP? Who's going to be the delegates? And then we started talking about the candidates they supported and their resolutions. And it's like, oh man, I wish I'd have known this about these people before I voted for them. So you have the opportunity to go in there and say, I'm looking at the agenda. I'd like to make a motion to change the agenda so that we can have these discussions before.
Right.
That's a good point.
That's a good point. Yeah. Which kind of makes sense, huh? It's like, wait, that's just first let's vote. Then we'll figure out what the information is.
If you're elected as your PCP, a communist. Oh, that's unfortunate.
That's too bad. We didn't mean to do that. Let's just send everybody to mycoloradogop.org. That's the best place that I'll.
And if you're a Republican, usually your county has sent you how to attend a caucus.
Right.
If you'd give them an email address sometime in your registration process.
Right.
So it'll be, who knows?
Make sure that you take a picture of the list of people in attendance.
Yes.
Whether you end up being voted the PCP or not, you'll want to know who attended there with you so that you can hold these people accountable. And,
barbecue.
Right.
I was a PCP and we had another PCP who was elected. And so I called the Republican Party and stuff, said, well, I'd just like to get a hold of them so we could get together. And we don't know.
That's a good point.
We've lost it, or we never took it or whatever the party does when it wants to be worthless to you.
That's one of the things that I really want to stress is that we need to get rid of the people that are running the party right now. You know, KBB, I think she's just a puppet. She's exactly the same as the rest of the rhinos that have run the party for so long. It's a secret society. I asked at one meeting, can I get a list of the people who attended this meeting? I am a member. They are all members. And they said, no, we don't give out that information.
Look, the party makes everything impossible. It makes everything secret. It's loyalty.
Well, then they have all the power, right?
They have all the power over nothing. They have all the power over no state party official is statewide. They don't control House. They don't control the Senate. This lawsuit we're instituting and so forth, it's the first time in a fifth of a century that anybody has fought back against the Democrats telling everybody, hey, we'll set the rules and you obey.
We can do it.
We can do it.
All right, Peg, thank you so much. I appreciate your time coming on.
You're welcome.
All right. We'll be going. And Rev will be, as he was with you guys when you were traveling the state, looking out for rhinos.
Yes.
So it always tells Rev, look out for the rhinos. Be on the rhino alert.
The rhino alert. You can always tell them. They're squishy little human beings, and they're awful.
Well, and that's the thing is they will be there.
They will be there. And so Rev has gotten pretty good. Is that a rhino, Dad? Yeah, that's one. Got him.
Well, and the thing is you need to be there because the rhinos will be there, yeah, right? Because the establishment people, they have money in the game, so to speak. And this is from Dr. Donna. I have relatives in Sicily. Might be able to contact them if need be. We don't want to go that far.
Maybe. You know what I mean? Don't throw that out. Right?
So what do you want to wrap? So we could talk a little bit more about this. You want to talk?
Well, I just want to talk about the state of the Republican Party in Colorado is really awful. It's awful, and there are a lot of anti-Trump people who are part of the county chair. So we have a great one in Adams County, but all across, especially in the Front Range counties, with some exceptions, you got Vicky Tompkins and
down in El Paso.
In El Paso and we Adams County is
Joanne
great.
Winholds, yeah.
Winholds and so forth. But you have also a lot of people who clearly were Democrats, decided they take control of the county chair seats and because it doesn't pay,
it's thankless. Yeah, it's a thankless job. But and again, that's where the Democrats have the advantage because they have organizations that pay for that kind of stuff, right?
Yes, yes.
And so we don't, and it does take volunteers. But like you were talking last night with Neil Oliver, for a long time, I think we were just complacent and we're like, things work. I go to the store, I get gas. It's not too crazy. I was complacent. And then all of a sudden, again, we've seen in the past couple of years, what happens when you're not paying attention? All of a sudden you're wearing masks. Your business is closed down. Your kid can't go to school. Then when they do go to school, you're like, what the heck are they teaching the kids? Then they tell you, well, you don't have a right to know. All of these things. And I think that they are fighting back hard. The Democrats are. And to them, as I said before, it's war. And in war, there aren't any rules. There's just winning. And that's all they want to do. And the only way, we need to be like the Ukrainians, right? We need to just say we're fighting back and we're not giving up. And we don't care that there are more of you, maybe not more of you, but that you have more money than us. I think by just participating, it is so much more important in today's world. I think than maybe it was before. I guess it's probably always been important, but now, right? Yeah. Because I think now you look at the Biden administration, they're up against the wall. I think everybody hates their policies. Everybody hates them. Even Democrats don't even like Biden. And when people are backed up in the
global
elites.
But if all we do is elect a bunch of rhinos,
right,
then it'll go back to the Democrats. So it will go, that's no different. You haven't changed anything. You haven't improved my life. You haven't gotten rid of, one of the things we ought to do is take away the power of the public health officials and the governor and other, just declare declarations of emergency based on nothing.
Right.
And we've got to start taking, you can't just say, well, just leave everything as it is and we won't make a declaration, but who knows? Maybe you will. Maybe
I think so too. I mean, to me, it seems clearly, and I know with the Democrat legislature, it'll never get passed, but it seems outrageous that Jared Polis could just declare a state of emergency, turn things over to the health department, and then there's nothing you could do. And he can keep declaring a state of emergency until he feels like undeclaring it. It's like, there seems to be at the very least, okay, maybe a state of emergency for 15 days or a week or something like that, but then he's got to explain it and he's got to justify it and he's got to have some kind of legislative vote I mean, if nothing else, like you said, there are things you can do, pretty simple, basic things to make sure that the stuff that we've gone through the past couple of years never happens again. Again, I think it's scary when you look at, so the Western governments pressure Apple and Google and places like that to crack down and, you know, whatever that digital banking to crack down on those in Russia. It would just be a simple flip of the switch to do it here. And again, we saw GoFundMe was just like, well, we're just going to keep your money.
Yeah, that was
right?
Cute.
It's like, and then the other company, when they did it, that the Canadian government said, well, we just won't let you use the banks. I mean, think about that, how easy they would do that. And now, I mean, who has cash these days? Basically, you do, but so we could at least go to, but I mean, it's just outrageous. And you think, oh, that would never happen. But who would have thought?
What happened in Canada?
Yeah, what happened in Canada and Australia? I mean,
I promise the whole world was watching Canada. Oh, that's a good move.
The Putin people. Yeah. All right, so Peg's put a thing up there. Once again, it's mycoloradogop.org. She's got links to everything. Wednesday, we'll talk about the lawsuit.
Yep.
Coming up.
Yep.
And then Friday, I'm kind of excited about our Friday show. We are going to have on Eric Ogland. He's a congressional candidate in CD7, but he's also a combat veteran, and he can talk a little bit about Ukraine. And then also Dr. June Depp, Brian June Depp, he's filled in for us before. If you guys have long time listened to us for a while, you know him. He's great. He's got a political commentary up in American Thinker. He's been traveling in Iraq with his son and has been, I don't know if you're Facebook friends with him, he posts on Facebook, but he's going to be talking about that too. Once again, saying, you know what they've been telling us, it's not really true. You know, go figure,
never
go
is.
Figure.
Never so. Is. All right. Well, thanks everybody. It's been a great show and a great chance to talk with all of you. And I want to thank Peg for her explanation, and we'll see you on Post Caucus Wednesday.
There we go. Thanks everybody. Bye everybody on Zoom.